On September 16th, 1408, Sigurd Bjorn's daughter and Thorstein Olafsson got married in a church on the southernmost tip of Greenland. They'd settled there after their ship was blown off course as they sailed from Norway. Greenland had already been home to a Viking colony for more than 400 years when they landed. Their marriage was mentioned in letters, including one in 1424, but that's the last anyone really heard from the Norse Greenlanders. Archaeologists and historians have long debated how and why the Vikings perished. Was it climate change, the Black Plague in Europe, economic collapse? In the March issue of Smithsonian Magazine, journalist Tim Folger writes about new research into that question. And Tim Folger joins us from Gallup, New Mexico on Skype. Welcome to Here and Now.
Oh, thanks very much, Eric.
And Tim, first, tell us more about this couple I mentioned in the introduction. They represent Viking life on Greenland toward the end of their reign there, yes?
That's right. That couple, Sigurd and Thorstein, as you said, were married in the early 15th century in a church that was built, you know, more than 100 years before Columbus sailed to the Americas. The Vikings settled Greenland during a period that was unusually warm by historical standards. Scientists call it the medieval warm period, and it lasted from about 900 AD to 1200, and it made sailing to Greenland from Scandinavia much easier than it had been in the past, and much easier than it would be in later centuries.
So tell us about this medieval warm period. I mean, why did the Vikings settle on Greenland in the first place? It was just easier to get there and easier to farm and have livestock during this warmer climate?
It was easier then than it would be later. According to the old sagas, Eric the Red reached Greenland in 985, and he described it as, he supposedly named it as Greenland, as a way to entice settlers there. But, you know, a lot of archaeologists really question that rationale for settling Greenland. Why would you leave, you know, Norway, travel over Arctic seas to settle in a land that is much more difficult to farm, a much more challenging environment? So what was it that really brought the Vikings to Greenland? It probably wasn't good farmland. It might have been that the Vikings were searching for wealth. They were looking for walrus ivory, which is a really valuable commodity in medieval Europe.
And you write, the Scandinavians had this, you know, remarkable ability to colonize these high-altitude places, graze livestock, and build a life in you know, inhospitable areas.
You know, one archaeologist really kind of brought the magnitude of their accomplishment home to me when he compared the Viking experience in Greenland with the experience of the British settlers in New England. You know, the Pilgrims, when they arrived in at Plymouth Rock in 1620, they barely survived their first winter. They probably wouldn't have made it if they hadn't received help from Native Americans. 500 years earlier, the Vikings settled in Greenland with no help from any native peoples, and they managed to survive and farm there. And, you know, who could even do that today? We think, who has that set of skills to build ships, sail to a place, farm and hunt in these Arctic conditions? It's really an amazing accomplishment.
Tim, after 1424, there's no more word from the Norse Vikings. And the conventional theory has been that they failed to adapt to climate change and either packed up and left or died off. Tell us what your piece argues.
Over the last several years, archaeologists have pieced together, you know, a much more interesting and complex picture that the Vikings were actually really well adapted to life in Greenland. They were hunting seals very efficiently. They were farming very carefully. They conserved their soil. So it probably wasn't their failure to adapt to a changing climate that did them in, which is kind of a scary story in a way, because they were doing a lot of things right, and yet they still didn't succeed.
The impact of the Black Plague and of climate change on the Viking population has been studied and talked about more. But you mentioned that less studied and less well-known is the impact on their trade, globalization, and the collapse of the walrus ivory market. Tell us about that.
Archaeologists now think that a more plausible reason for the Vikings settling in Greenland was that they were going after walrus ivory, which was a very valuable commodity in medieval Europe. And that trade in walrus ivory sustained the Vikings' Greenland colonies for probably 400 or 500 years. But eventually that market collapsed as new trade routes were opening up into sub-Saharan Africa by the Portuguese and other countries. And they were bringing elephant ivory into Europe. Elephant tusks are much bigger than walrus tusks. It was much easier to work with. Going to sub-Saharan Africa was much easier than sailing to Greenland. So kind of the market fell out. The demand for walrus ivory plummeted, and their economy collapsed, it seems.
There's no evidence that the Black Plague reached Greenland, but it reached Norway and did enormous damage to their trading partners across Europe.
That's right. There's no evidence of any plague or any sort of widespread disaster in Greenland. So archaeologists have debated, well, what happened to the Vikings in the end? Did they intentionally leave in an orderly way, or did they, you know, meet some horrible fate? Did they starve to death, or were they wiped out by, you know, conflict with the Inuit who were coming down from northern Greenland at about the same time the Vikings were settling in Greenland in the south?
The fate of the Vikings has been seen as something of a cautionary tale about a society failing to adapt to climate change. But as you mentioned, this is far scarier. This is a culture, it seems, that did adapt and do the right things to try to adapt to a warming climate, and they failed anyway.
That's right. It is a much scarier story. I think they were doing a lot of things right. They were conserving their soil, adapting to a local habitat, and still they couldn't survive. In a way, they were doing much better than we are. You know, we can foresee problems in our future. The Vikings didn't have that luxury. They couldn't see what was going to happen to the climate in the decades ahead. We can see that. Mm. The Vikings didn't. But even so, they did everything that a culture could at that time to adapt, and they still didn't make it. And that is scarier. And it's, what sort of message does it have for us today when we're probably not making the same sorts of efforts that the Vikings made to adapt?
Tim, why is knowing what happened to the Vikings important to us?
I think it's important because they face the same sort of challenges we face: globalization, climate change, potential pandemics in our future. And they faced all three of them at the same time. It's a warning for us, I think, that we can't ignore these threats. If we do ignore them, we do that at our peril. We have an advantage over the Vikings. We can see that the climate is going to change and that we should be preparing for it.
Tim, by the way, what happened to that Viking couple who got married in 1408 that we started the interview out of? Do we have any idea?
We do. There's a record from 1424 that mentions that the couple eventually settled in Iceland. And as some sort of property dispute, perhaps, they needed to provide evidence that they had been married in Greenland. Hmm. And so the letters testifying to their wedding were preserved in Iceland. So we know that at least those two people made it out of Greenland alive.
Tim Folger's story about why the Vikings vanished from Greenland is in the March issue of Smithsonian Magazine. Tim, thanks for speaking with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Eric.